Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for Reformation Day comes from our first reading of Revelation. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." Thus far the text. Quite literally, we have an angel, a messenger from God, gospeling an eternal gospel. That's how it would sound in the Greek. The angel is gospeling a gospel for the entire world. Each and every single person who has ever lived and ever will live, this gospel is eternal. It has no end. And it's all encompassing. It does not segregate or divide. It's not just for you, but not really for them. Not just for the Jews, but not really for the Gentiles. Not just for those within the church, but not for those outside the church. This is a gospel that is for everyone. There is no distinction whatsoever. And in the broad sense, this word gospel, when used in our text, could and probably should be seen as the entire counsel of God. It then, of course, is everything that the Lord has placed in front of us to hear. And that's why the angel tells us to fear God. Fear has no place in the gospel, not the gospel in that narrow sense as we know it. The only place that fear has, even this proper fear of God, is in the law. And so, this angel is proclaiming the fullness of the gospel in the wide sense, the law and the gospel, and it is for everyone. It's an important thing that the angel is doing here. Perhaps the most important thing that could ever be done. What could be more important than gospeling this gospel, which each and every single person needs, no matter the race or creed or nationality? The full counsel of God must be told. If it isn't, then all that we have, all that the world has, is just deadness to sin. So the law is good. It certainly is good. It's from God Himself. It's perfect and holy and righteous. But the law has nothing to say to us in regard to our salvation. It speaks in a different way. The Apostle Paul talks about it as it places us under it, maybe within it. In the Greek. And that's because of our sinful flesh. The law of God must be obtained. It must be fulfilled, must be kept. The demands of the law aren't just mere examples. They're not recommendations. They are exactly that. They're demands of the law. So do this and don't do that. Keep this and let go of that. Fulfill this and don't let a single dot of that fall. That's the law. Do it and you will live. Do it not and you will die. Now, if that were good enough for us, if that were enough for salvation, for us to be placed under or within the law, then we would have no need for this gospeling of the gospel in that narrow sense. There would be no need for a truth that sets us free. There'd be no need for an eternal proclamation of that other part, that sonship and freedom from sin. If the law were enough, there would be no need for a Christ, no need for a Jesus, no need for a cross at all. And if truth be told, if the law were enough, if that's all that we needed, then there would be no reason for us to be here today. There'd be no need for baptism or the Lord's Supper or His word proclaimed or absolution given. Worship would be futile. God's divine service, of which we are gathered around, would be pointless. We would have the law, that would be enough, and we could just go ahead and fulfill it. In our epistle reading, Paul tackles something of boasting. He mentions it because that's what we're most apt to do in our life, isn't it? It's part of our human flesh. What else is boasting except boasting in that of which we've accomplished? It would be a little silly to boast in anything else, wouldn't it? Just think of the last time that you heard somebody boast in something that they didn't do, that they didn't accomplish for themselves. You may nod and smile, but behind that face of yours, you're wondering what in the world that person is talking about. Why is he boasting? He didn't do anything. He didn't accomplish anything. He shouldn't even be boasting. And so for us, even for us Christians, what do we like to boast about then? What's innate within us that we like to boast about? What forces us to boast about our accomplishments? Because that's really the only thing that we want to boast about. We're experts at boasting. Boasting about the things we've done or not done. We're even so good that we've invented the humble brag, in which we boast in such a way that it makes it seem as if we're the most humble person on the planet. We boast. And unfortunately, we usually, almost always, boast in the works of our own hands so that we can receive accolades from everyone around us because of the things that we've done. That's our nature, to boast. And so it's our nature to boast in the law. And perhaps we don't really think of it that way, but tell me, what else could that be? We fall right in line with the Jews in our gospel reading. They're boasting that they've never been enslaved to anyone because they're sons of Abraham. Maybe they should reread the Old Testament. But isn't that the thing, too? When our boasting is in the law, when our boasting is in our keeping of the law, do we ever really take a moment to stop and recognize how absolutely ridiculous we sound? Of course not. Somehow we've convinced ourselves that we're not under the law, but we're guardians of the law. We boast of our works. We think that we've kept the law through our deeds, that we've fulfilled it through our works. We boast in ourselves, and we boast to our neighbors about ourselves. We even boast to God about ourselves, saying, "But all these commandments, Lord, I've kept since I was a young boy. What else is there to do? What else must I do to inherit eternal life? Just let me know, God, and I'll go ahead and get it done." How silly. How silly and foolish and vain and self-righteous we pretend to be. For if the law were good enough, or better said, if we were good enough for the law, then there would be no need for this angel to go around proclaiming that second part, gospeling the entirety of God's counsel, both law and gospel, like he does. If we could justify ourselves with the works of our own hands, there would be no need for the truth that sets us free from sin. If we could rightfully uphold that law, then that gospeling angel really would be out of a job, not to mention Jesus. But the angel goes ahead and gospels his gospel, which means that he gospels about Jesus. And Jesus, he still lays it down on the line, and he calls us out on the carpet and makes it clear without a shadow of a doubt that we are slaves to sin. That's what he says in our gospel reading. And Paul, in our epistle reading, still says things like, "For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." All of this stuff still happens. And all of that is proclaimed from pulpits like this one. It must be proclaimed from pulpits like this one, that by works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight. On Reformation Day, goodness, on every single day of our lives, the only boasting that should ever be heard regarding the law is that through the law comes knowledge of our sin. If you're using the law to boast about your good works, then you're using the law wrong. Repent. It's of no use to you. It will get you nowhere except further down and this enslavement and foolishness of sin and disease and self-justification. So the angel proclaims the law. He does. Which shows us our sin, brings us to that proper fear of God. And then he gospels the gospel. This messenger from God proclaims an eternal truth that sets the captives free. The angel proclaims an eternal gospel, not a list of works that you have fulfilled, but an entire list of works that have been fulfilled for you. This gospeling angel gospels the gospel truth that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for your sins. It's Jesus who this angel gospels about. It's his cross and it's his passion which the angel proclaims to the world. It's his dying a sacrificial death so that your sins might be wiped away from you, driven into his hands and feet and side, nailed to the sacrificial altar that Jesus died on, and then buried deep into that cold, dead ground. And this angel better gospel this. He better proclaim this gospel truth. The gospeling words of this angel better be gospeled eternally for the sake of all mankind, for none will be justified by the works of the law. None are going to be able to stand before the Almighty God and boast in the works of his own hand. None are going to be able to stand by that law and lay it before the just judge and say, "See, I've done everything that's needed. Let me into those pearly gates because I've earned it." The gospel of Christ crucified must be proclaimed, or else we will be eternally lost and eternally damned by the law that he proclaims, and eternally enslaved to a sin that we brought about on ourselves. So the gospel is gospeled, it's proclaimed, it's spoken, and we pray that it always will be. May this gospel always be preached and taught and given, so that we could hear this good news of Jesus and his cross, the good news of the forgiveness of sins given free and clear, the good news of a law fulfilled not by us, but by Christ, and then credited to us for our good and for his sake. For we don't justify ourselves. We are justified. We are declared righteous. We are made clean by the very God who demanded a perfect keeping of the law and then fulfilled it by the sending of his Son. And the beautiful thing about all of this is that we receive it by faith, not by a law of works. We just hold out empty sacks and they're filled to overflowing with the gospel. Today and every single day, we're gospeled through the forgiveness of sins. It's been wetted upon our foreheads. And we're gospeled with the forgiveness of sins that's spoken into our ears. And we're gospeled with the forgiveness of sins that's placed on our tongues and poured down our throats. were gospeled with the forgiveness of sins won on the cross, and that Jesus himself gives to us right here in time and space. And then we boast a little, but not in the things of the law. We don't boast in a law of works. We boast in a law of faith, which really is no law at all, at least no law that we must fulfill. And we boast in the gospel. We boast in Jesus. We boast in him and his fulfilling of the law and his cross and his forgiveness of sins. Whenever your sinful flesh causes you to doubt, you may boast in Christ and his cross. Whenever the demons accuse you of your sin and declare that you're not worthy of the glory of God, you may boast all the more of Christ and your worthiness in him. Whenever the law brings you knowledge of your sin and damns you because of it, you may boast in the gospel of Christ and that he has freed you from all of your sin and the demands of the law. That's what Reformation Day is all about. The boasting of Christ and his cross, the gospeling of the gospel, the proclamation of sins forgiven. And that's been going on for far longer than 502 years in Martin Luther. It's an eternal gospel, gospeled forever, for all people. That includes you. In the name of Jesus.